To appreciate all that's been done here, both seen and unseen. And we thank the Lord for this church and for what it means to us and for all that you have done for us and are doing for us. We appreciate it. It's because of you, God working through you, that we're out here. We thank the Lord for you. We appreciate you. All of your acts of kindness, so many of you have done little things since we've been here, and we appreciate it. We bless the Lord for you. We have been preaching since Sunday morning on the subject of death and trying to convince you that it ain't what it seems. I don't know that I have, but I've done my best shot at it. And that it is a gain and not a loss. That the Bible sees it in a good light. It's gotten a bum rap. It's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. And I think we'll see tonight as we close out that it leads to something grand and glorious. And there's only one yellow brick road that'll get you there. And it is the road of death. Not only just graveyard death, but dying to self. And we've looked at it from several angles. We've looked at death and its revelation, and death and its reign, and death and our reaction to it. We looked last evening. We feel like God helped us around here last night as we looked at death and its resistance, trying to resist God bringing death into your life. Death the way you thought it ought to win. Death to your visions. And death to your plans. And God's plan overruling our plans. We rejoice in what he said to us last evening. Tonight I want to turn our attention in closing to the book of Philippians. If you've got your Bible tonight, the book of Philippians. And if we could tonight, I'd like to bring a thought or two on the subject of death and its reckoning. Death and its reckoning. The book of Philippians has four little chapters in it. It has 104 verses. But Paul mentions death four times in this book. An average of every 26 verses, David mentions death. Of course, this is one of the prison epistles that David wrote while imprisoned at Rome. Thought it very interesting that he'd write this book from a Mamrian prison. You say, what in the big deal about him being in prison, it being a Mamrian prison? Well, a Mamrian prison was below ground in Rome. It was the sewer there in Rome. They usually tried to put 40 prisoners in there. And when they would get done with them, they would flush. They would get rid of the 40 prisoners and they'd start over again. I'm sure the rats and stuff down there were awful large, awful big. I'm sure the smell was unusual and strange. That's where the Apostle Paul picked up his pen and wrote this book of Philippians, and on four different occasions mentioned the subject of death. Let us read those four occasions if we could and preach on this subject of death and its reckoning. I use that little word reckon. It's a business term. It means to place to one's account. I didn't know if you know it or not, but God has placed some things to your account tonight about death. And it is ready for you to make a withdrawal. It's already there. It's not a feeling. It's a fact. It's already there. Notice if you have your Bible there, chapter number 1, verse number 20. Paul speaking, according to my earnest expectations and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ,
And to die is what? Gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose I want not. He said, for I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. Having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith. Again, he mentions death in chapter number 2 and verse number 8. Speaking of Jesus, being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, giving him a name which is above every name. Again, he mentions death. You've got your Bible there, chapter number 2, verse number 17. Paul says, yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice, there, word sacrifice, another word for death, and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. Again, chapter number 3, verse number 10, that I may know him, the power of his resurrection, fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend for that which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You may be seated. Chapter number 1, verse number 20. We're looking at these four mentions of death, and we're looking at Paul's thoughts on death and its reckoning. Remember now, that's a business term. Paul's going to deal here in Philippians with some things that have been placed to my account, been placed to your account. You can leave them in there. You don't even have to make a withdrawal. They'll continue to draw interest. Of course, they won't do you no good. You'll still sit around and blubber and cry and whine, do all that other stuff you try to do, try to get through death experiences. Or you can just make these withdrawals, and it'll help you through what you need to get through. These are not feelings. These are facts. Of course, one can never truly learn to live until he learns how to die. We must. I don't know how to tell you how to do it. I don't even know how I did it. But for some reason, I stumbled upon it, and it worked out. We must teach our kids how to live and quit teaching them how to try to make a living. You listening to me? We're desperately trying to teach our kids how to make a living so they won't live off of us. And it ain't working. If you'll ever teach them how to live, they'll figure out how to make a living. It is a must tonight. It is a must. In death experiences, dying to self, it is there that God will teach us how to lean heavily upon him. Lean upon these facts and away from our feelings and make these withdrawals. As we begin in chapter number 1 and verse number 20, can I draw to our attention first of all tonight the plus of death. The plus of death. Paul says here in our text, he said, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. Paul mentions the plus of magnification. I was extremely interested in that little word, magnified. There's two or three words in the New Testament used for magnification. One that is used is a word that we get our word microscope from. You can rest assured that's not the word that Paul's using here. A microscope takes something little, make it big. Christ surely is not little. And I don't know how you feel about it. He does not need to be made any bigger. He is now bigger than we can handle. So I know right away that it is not the word microscope. Another word that is used in the New Testament translated magnify is our little word binocular. It is taking things that are on this plane and making them clear and up close. Certainly know that that is not true because Christ is not on this plane. I remember the word that is used here made such a lasting impression upon me. I was in the 10th grade on three different occasions, so I took this course three times. All three times in this class, they had this instrument over by the window, and I still don't know why they had it there. They had a big sign on it said, "Do not touch." I never saw anybody touch it. Never saw nobody fool with it. I don't know why they had it there. But they said that it was a telescope. Telescope is used to take things that are way off in the distance, bring them up close so you can see them clearly. Plus of magnification. Paul here is offering his body as a telescope. He said, "Lord," he said, "if you let me live or if you let me die, you that are afar off, the world can't see you clearly." He said, "Take my body and bring yourself in close and let them see you through me." I was wondering tonight, any of you be interested in being a telescope tonight? Offering God your body. Lord, whether you let me live or you just kill it or you just kill it on the installment plan, I'd like to be a telescope. And I'd like for you to bring yourself in close and let the world see you through my living, through my dying. That's what the Apostle Paul is offering himself for. Of course, you know right away there'll have to be death to your expectations. There'll have to be death to your little old plans and your little old scheming and your little old ideas tonight, in order to offer your body as a telescope tonight that God could be magnified. But notice in the text, not only is there the plus of magnification, but I notice in verse number 21, there is the plus of ministry. The plus of ministry. Paul said, "For to me to live is Christ." I thought if you'd allow me tonight, I'd like to take that little word Christ out of that text tonight and we'll just make it a fill in the blank. For me to live is what? I mean, you're not going to be super spiritual. I mean, I know all of you got a halo. We'll just take them off. We'll cut the lights out after a while and watch them glow. But for just for right now, we're just going to take them off and set them aside. You're not trying to be super spiritual. What would you fill in that blank? For me to live is what? I don't know, for me, it would be for me to live is preaching. Oh, Lord God, if I can't preach no more, just let me die. Paul's fixing to hear the preaching days is over. Traveling all around on the big missionary journeys is over. Paul said, for me to live. Wonder what you're living.
Well, I tell you, preacher, what real living is to me, boy. I want to find a good job. Man, I want to find me a husband or a wife. Like to have me a good car.
That what real living is to you? So you're telling me tonight, if you pull out of the driveway tonight and somebody hits you, you're paralyzed from the neck down. And you've got to lay around somewhere for the rest of your life as a quadriplegic. Life is over for you. So in other words, you're telling me tonight, if you get all scarred up and you're not pretty no more, life is over for you. There can be no ministry tonight. You can never help anybody else till you come to the conclusion tonight that it's just Christ. For me to live is not to have a husband, not to have a wife, not to have a home, not to have a bunch of pretties tonight. Christ and Him alone. Take everything I got. Just don't take Him. Because if I got Him, I got it all. I got it all. Paul said, for me to live is Christ. When God subtracts from us those things we consider real living, it is then that we'll see the gain. We'll see that it was all about Christ. The plus of ministry, you cannot help anybody else until you die to what you're filling in that blank. What real living is to you. Can't be any ministry. You can't help anybody else. You can't go out here and minister the word. Well, you're going to go out here and tell the world that all you need is Christ. You don't even believe it yourself. Must be a reality to us tonight. The plus of ministry, Paul said in verse 22, he says, but if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I want not. He talks about real fruit. Real fruit tonight is in death, dying to ourselves. You take a grain of corn tonight. Grain of corn is worthless tonight. Listen, you put it in the ground and let it rot. Huh? Let it die to itself. You take a grain of corn, a kernel of corn, and it's worthless. If I come in here tonight and say, hey, anybody want this kernel of corn? Nobody wants that kernel of corn. But you let me plant it. You let it rot. You let that outer shell fall off from it. Inside that little kernel of corn, there'll come up a little shoot out of it. Then it'll come on up about knee high. Then it'll come on up about neck high. Then it'll be over my head. And depending on where you're from, it'll tassel or it'll tossle on the top. And there'll be 8 ears of corn on there if it's a hybrid. And each one of them will have 200 kernels. There'll be 1,600 kernels come out of that one kernel, but it had to die. Be no ministry, there can be no extension of this church until this body in here dies. Then we can reach out to the community and begin to tassel and tossle. Verse 24, he says, nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. Having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you for all your furtherance. And joy of faith The only reason that God would leave any of us here after he saves us tonight is so that we can die to self and reach out and ministry to others. Huh? God not left you here to see if you can make it through this maze and see how much money you can make while you're here and how much stuff you can collect. He not left us here for that. He left us here to die to self and minister to others. Honey, that is the plus of death tonight. But go further with me now. Look in chapter number 2. Not only do we see the plus of death, but we are confronted with the practice of death. The practice of death. We touched on this last evening. I'll not go into it much deeper tonight, but in verse number 8, we're confronted with the humility of practice. The humility of practice. He says, being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. Christ had to humble himself. In order to get above death, he got under death. Oh, in order to conquer death, he bowed to death. He who was the incarnate God, he who was the resurrection and the life, he who could not die, submitted himself to death. How come he'd want to get under death for, preacher? So he could conquer it. Oh, you and I'll never conquer death until we submit to death. Until we submit to death. The child of God must bow to death. I thought it was interesting. He gives us some ideas about this practice. In chapter 2 and verse 3, he said, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. I don't like that little phrase, lowliness of mind. I tell you the reason I don't like it. In the original language, the little phrase literally is low down thinking about yourself. Any of you got low down thinking about yourself? You just feel like you're just low down. Just a zero with the rim rubbed out. Most Baptists I meet, they don't feel that way. All you got to do is watch Dr. Phil and Oprah for a little while and you'll have good feelings about yourself. Ought to love. I hear all the time talking about you ought to love yourself. Love yourself. Why, you're deplorable as you're as wicked as hell itself. What in the world you want to love yourself for? Huh? Practice of death. Child of God, in order to go further in this practice of death, he must embrace everything that is opposite to his thinking. Everything's contrary to our thinking. Why, the way to be exalted is to humble ourselves. The way to win is to lose. The way to be strong is to become weak. The way to live is to die. It's all contrary to our thinking. The humility of practice tonight. Oh, I pray tonight that the Lord would teach us how to die to ourselves. I was thinking about that. I have a dear pastor friend. Oh, I've known him for so long. And we've been close over the years. And he pastors down in Florida. And some time ago, he had a music director that, I mean, he just wrung him out. He split the church. He just was a mess, really. And that old boy left there and he went on up in Virginia and started a church. And lo and behold, he called me and asked me if I'd come hold a meeting for him. I thought to myself, Lord God, I couldn't hold a meeting for you. You cut my friend's heart out. Well, I called my friend and I said, you know what happened to me today? He said, no, what? I said, old Doug called me and asked me for a meeting. He said, sure enough. He said, what'd you tell him? I said, I ain't really told him nothing. He said, you need to go. What? You need to go. He said, you might can help him. I said, it won't hurt you if I go. If I live to be 100, I'll never forget what he told me. He said, Lord God, no. He said, I'm dead. You know, it had never bothered him. We're just as close as we ever were. Oh, tonight. You know, there'd be a lot less things around you tonight that would bother you if you were dead. You listening to me tonight? Oh, in order to conquer death tonight, you must get under it tonight. I'm talking about the humility of practice tonight. But watch the text. We're talking about the practice of death. Not only would it involve the humility of death, but it would involve the hearing of practice. There is a humility practice. There is a hearing practice. He said in verse number 8, being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death. The little word obedient there is attentively listening with an ear to obey. Jesus learned obedience through the things he suffered. You know, Jesus had never had to obey anybody. He come from a place where there wasn't anybody to obey. He never had done it before. He didn't know nothing about it. Never had to bow to nobody. Where he come from, he run the show. And so the only way his father could teach him obedience was through the things that he suffered. Oh, he continually said, not my will, but thine be done. I was wondering tonight, you know, I was thinking about it again today. You know, I've been saved 36 years. I've been preaching for 34. You know, I'm ashamed to tell you tonight how little a distance I've come in dying to myself. I've got so much further to go. So much further to go. Because see, you know, this thing is supposed to end up. This whole death process is, when you get finished, you're supposed to be just like him. And I don't know, as I look in the mirror of the Word of God, hun, I ain't even close. I ain't even close. And so I know if I ain't close, I know some of you ain't had no contact with no Bible at all. I know you must, honey, you ain't even started down the yellow brick road yet. You listening to me tonight? I was wondering tonight, how do you respond tonight to loss and breakdown? God takes things away from you. You lose them. You got to pry your fingers away from them. Once he takes it, are you standing? I want it back. I want it back. Loss, breakdown. Are you just holding everything with a loose grip tonight in case he wants to come get it? I was wondering, how do you respond to inconvenience? Inconvenience. Somebody make you wait. I was wondering tonight, how do you respond tonight to a rearrangement of your plans tonight? Man, some of you are planning freaks. You got it all planned out. God reaches in there. How do you respond to that? Woo! Glory to God! God rearranged my whole schedule today. I had all planned that. It all messed up. Huh? Rearrangement of your schedule. I was wondering, how do you young people respond tonight when you don't get your way? When it just don't go your way. Jesus, he learned obedience through the things he suffered. His father continually arranged it where he would not get his way. Wouldn't get his way. death to self. I was wondering tonight, how do you respond to verbal abuse? Sometimes people put their mouth on you. How do you respond to that? How do you respond tonight when you suffer wrong? When you know in your heart of hearts you've done right? How do you respond tonight? I was wondering tonight, how do you respond tonight when you pray and pray about a situation and the heavens are brass, God's silent, He ain't answering nothing you pray? How do you respond to that? Preacher, what in the world's God doing? Rearranging my schedule, not letting me get my way. You think that He's sending all of that to teach you how to whine? He wants to see if you really know how to. You think He's testing you tonight, see if you can sit around and blubber good? Oh no. I love what old Job said about it. He said, "The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Job said, "Though He slay me, yet will I trust Him." Oh, there is the hearing of practice. Job had learned. Job is the oldest book in the Bible. God starts out the canon of Scripture in the oldest book in the Bible, showing us a man who learned how to die to himself. So you know it can be done tonight. Oh, I'm talking about the practice of death, the plus of death. Could I look again in chapter number 2, verse number 17? Paul mentions the pouring out of death, the pouring out of death. Chapter number 2 and verse 17 says, "Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all." I was interested in that little word offered. It means to be poured out. Poured out. Emptied. God is interested in emptying you and I. What in the world does He want to do that, preacher? What in the world does He want to turn me upside down and shake all of me out of me? Because He don't like you. He never liked you. You're depraved, you're hellish, and He don't like you. He wants there to be less of you and more of Him. And if He can get you out of you, there'll be more room for Him. You ain't got it yet. Poured out, emptied. I notice in this verse He's poured out for others. Poured out for others. "Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith." Paul said, "I want to be poured out." The only way you'll ever help anybody else is if there's less of you. God must empty you. Pour you out. Paul said one time he'd like to be spend and be spent. That little phrase there. Paul said, "I want to be pocket change in God's pocket. If God needs something," he said, "I want to be right in God's pocket. He can reach and get me. Spend and be spent." Paul said on one occasion, he said, I count not my life dear unto myself. Dear unto myself. I tell you, here's a little thought that has just wrung me out lately. Epaphroditus, we're talking about this, poured out for others. Epaphroditus. Paul said of him, said he regarded not his own life. That little phrase there is a gambling term. Gambling term. The little phrase literally means to throw in a bet without thinking. Just throw it in at a whim. Paul said of Epaphroditus, said when somebody asked him if he wanted to serve God, said he just throwed his life in, like throwing in a gambling bet on a whim without any thinking. He just, I'm in, count me in. I have had the privilege, and I don't know why, of having two sons who threw their life in on a whim, like a gambling bet. God came by both of them one day and said, I'd like to use you boys for the Lord. And you know what the two nuts said? We in. We in. They ain't got nothing. But are they ever in? I mean, they are slap dab over their head in service and ministering to others. You know, I was wondering, when is the last time Liberty had one of its young people, one of its teenagers, throw in? Preacher, I'm going with God. Don't want to make no money. I ain't interested in making no money. I want to serve the Lord. I'm in. Throw their life in at a whim. Throw it in like a gambling bet. Well, I tell you, it'll only come from dead people doing that. Dead people have died to all these little pretty trinkets and pretty little ornaments around here. We're in, bud. We want to go with God. You listening to me tonight? Oh, I'm talking tonight about poured out for others. Not only to be poured out for others, but here in this text, he would mention being poured out for him. Not only poured out this way, but Paul was poured out that way. He said over in 2 Timothy, when it come time to die, he said, for I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. He said, I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith, and there is a crown laid up for me. Oh, you don't find many people coming to the end saying they're ready to be offered. Oh, I was thinking about that little word offered. Did you notice what Paul said there? He said, yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. I thought it was interesting, that little phrase there. Paul's continuing to play upon words that have meanings. That little phrase there, joy and rejoicing there. And the little phrase there means with the chin up. Chin up. You know, most of this life, if you let it get to you, you're just walking around with your chin down. Yes, Paul said, I got my chin up. Well, you say, preacher, what's the big deal about that? Paul's execution was to have his head severed from his body. You reckon he went out there that morning with that chopping block, put his head down on there?
Y'all pray for me. I tell you, it's really going to hurt. I tell you, this is just going to really be bad. I don't know if I can stand this or not.
Oh, no. Paul said, I'm planning on going to the guillotine that morning. And when I put my neck on the block, he said, I'm going to have my chin up. I'm going to have my chin up. How come? Oh, Paul's been rehearsing for this since the day he got saved. He's been dying to himself. Oh, I wish we could get a hold of that tonight. Oh, I wish we could learn how to die to ourselves. Die to our little funny ways, die to all that we think is cute and familiar. Oh, see him and him alone. Poured out for him. Could I mention one last little thought that Paul mentions about death here? Chapter number 3. Not only the plus of death, the practice of death, the pouring out of death. In chapter number 3 and verse number 10, he mentions the prize of death. Preacher, pray tell, what is the prize for dying to ourselves? What could possibly be gained living a life like that? He says in our text in verse number 14, I press toward the mark. That little word press there means to stretch out. It means to strain all of the muscles, strain all of the fibers in the body. Paul said spiritually, he said, I'm straining every spiritual muscle I can strain. Preacher, Paul, why do you want to put yourself under such stress for spiritually? He said, I am pressing toward the mark. Toward the mark. That little word mark there is the little word for a goal. Paul said spiritually, he said, I'm straining every fiber I've got. He said, I'm giving it everything I've got. Trying to get to the goal. They tell Paul, what is the goal? He said, for the prize of the high calling of God. Paul said, I'm straining everything I've got. He said, I want to get to the goal line. He said, I want to get the prize. Pray tell, what is the prize? Oh, don't miss it. I notice in verse number 10, it is the prize of conformity. The prize of conformity. Paul said in verse number 10, that I may know Him, the power of His resurrection, fellowship of His suffering, being made what? Conformable unto His death. Paul said the ultimate prize was that he would be like Him. Be like Him. You know old John the Baptist, he had a problem the whole time he lived down here. They kept getting him and Jesus mixed up. He asked his disciples one day, he said, who do men say that I am? One of them said, well, some of them think you're John the Baptist. They asked old Herod, said, Herod, what do you think about Jesus? He said, he ain't nobody but John the Baptist raised from the dead. They kept getting John and Jesus mixed up. I was wondering, do you have that problem much? Getting you and Jesus mixed up. People down there at work, how about you young people over where y'all go to school, where y'all work at? They get y'all mixed up a lot. You and Jesus. Constantly. And she acts just like Jesus. Huh? I don't know about you. I'm not going to testify for you. I don't have that problem. I'm interested in having it. Death to self is the only thing that will bring that problem. Death to self. Prize of conformity. Being like Him. Paul said in verse number 12, not as though I had already attained or either were already perfect, but I follow after. Paul said, I'm panting after this. He said, I want to apprehend Christ. He said, I want to be like Jesus. I want to dress like Him, talk like Him, think like He does, look like He does, live like He does. I want people in this world not to be wondering what Jesus is like. They can look at me and see what Jesus is like. Paul didn't say follow Jesus. No, Paul said follow me. Any of you tell the world to follow you? Huh? Oh, talking about the prize of conformity. I notice not only is there the prize of conformity, but there's the prize of consecration. He says in verse 13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Paul was a member of the One Thing Club. I tell you, most Baptists I meet are paralyzed by their past. Most people sit around and blubber about what happened yesterday. Hun, ain't nothing about yesterday you can change. It's gone. It's under the bridge. They'll sit around some knucklehead psychologist table, wringing their hand. I tell you the reason why I'm all messed up. My daddy had a two-car garage and we only had one car and it messed me all up. Death to self. Consecration involves forgetting those things which are behind. You'll never do anything for God looking back. Got to press on. Got to press on. Got to keep reaching forward. How can that be? Paul says in chapter number 3, verse number 7, he said, what things were gained to me, those I counted loss. I thought it was interesting, that little word gain. It's a little word for our net worth. How much are you worth? Your net worth. Sold everything you had, turned it into money. Put it in a pile. Paul called it his gain, his net worth. And then Paul said, I laid Christ down beside it. Hey, Paul, what'd your other pile look like after you laid Christ down there beside it? You be the judge. Look at verse number 8. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, refuge, feces. Paul said, my net worth when I laid Christ down, he said it looked like a big old pile of feces. Whoa. You spending all your time on that pile. Whoa. You having fun yet? Death to self. Preacher, where is all of this reckoning of death leading to? It's leading to one thing. I sum it up tonight in the stanza of an old song. Old song's probably a couple of hundred years old. The old songwriter said it like this. Oh, to be like him, blessed Redeemer, this is my constant longing and prayer. Gladly I'll forfeit all of earth's treasures. Jesus, thy perfect likeness to wear. Oh, to be like thee. Oh, to be like thee. Blessed Redeemer, pure as thou art, come in thy sweetness, come in thy fullness, stamp thine image upon my heart. I wonder tonight, is that your cry tonight? Oh, to be like him. Would you say tonight that that's your prayer tonight? Gladly, I'll forfeit everything I've got. Preacher, I'll go to the house and clean out every account I've got, sell the car, sell the house, sell everything we've got. Oh, but to be like him. Just to be like him. You say, preacher, that is my desire tonight. Boy, I want to be like him. Do you now? That is your song tonight. That is your desire. Boy, I want to be like him. Be assured of this then. There will be much death in your future if you want to be like him. Would you stand with us tonight? Father.